Welcome to Alchemist X Innovators Inside, the podcast where we explore the world of corporate innovation and dive deep into the minds of thought leaders, high achievers, and risk takers. I'm your host, Ian Bergman, and together we'll uncover the challenges, triumphs, and secrets behind successful innovation journeys. Whether you're an aspiring entrepreneur, an industry veteran, or simply curious about the ever-evolving landscape of innovative ideas and what it takes to put them into practice, this is the podcast for you. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and let's embark on this exciting journey together. Sam, good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I can't complain. It's a Friday, and I'm not going to lie. After this week, I'm glad it's Friday, but I'm glad we're connecting. Welcome to the podcast.
Glad to be on the show.
Awesome. Well, for everyone, I am really glad to welcome Sam Lee, founder and CEO of ThoroPass. And ThoroPass is a growing, scaling startup doing some incredible work. Sam, I want to ask you all about it. Would you mind introducing yourself and your company?
Yeah. Yeah, really glad to be here. I'm Sam, co-founder and CEO of ThoroPass. ThoroPass is an information security compliance and audit solution that enables companies to get and stay compliant with IT security and privacy standards such as SOC 2, GDPR, ISO 27001, HIPAA, etc. So, you know, I started the company about 4.5 years ago here based in New York, but we have folks all around the globe. One thing to note is until April this year, we weren't known as Leica. We rebranded to ThoroPass in April.
I'm sure I'll ask you some questions about that, but let's get into the origin story a little bit, because I think for a lot of people, the word compliance kind of makes their head explode, and you just threw out a lot of acronyms that also make people's head explode. So how did you personally, and how did your company kind of get into this space? Can you kind of tell us where you came from?
Yeah, I think make fewer people's head explode is good categorization of reasons why I got into this.
You can use that on social media. It's cool.
I like it. So, you know, I come from a software engineering background, started my career in Goldman Sachs, Google, different technical roles before going to business school, where I started a fintech company in the insurtech space. So, you know, long story short, we raised a seed round. We did Y Combinator, but didn't hit product market fit. So I spent another year at Bain Capital Ventures here in New York as an EIR, entrepreneur in residence. So basically, that's a fancy name for a jobless MBA to go to a VC office, eat their snacks, drink their coffee, and think about new startup ideas.
I might not quote that. True, though.
Yeah. It's a nice good gig for some time. And I was reflecting on my journey as a startup operator running a 15-person fintech company. What are some of the pain points that I faced? And this information security compliance bit really stood out. As small as we were, we started talking to some large insurance partners and customers, which in our case were retailers. Everything was going great. They like our product. But then at one point, they start asking questions. Hey, can you tell me about your information security program? Can I see your SOC 2 report? Can I, here is 200 question questionnaire. Can you, tell me how you encrypt your data? What's your backup schedule, et cetera, et cetera. So, as many startups that, you have probably seen, this is very overwhelming. My head was exploding. I need to have those different certifications and information security compliance program to pass the procurement process of those large companies. But I don't have the bandwidth or the tools or the expertise to work on those. So, as I was looking for startup ideas, I realized that this is a problem that many other companies have as well. Every fintech, health tech, B2B SaaS company have those needs in order for them to get into the door with large enterprise or being able to comply with different regulations that are specific to fintech, health tech, gov tech, energy, you name it. So really inspired by companies like Carta or JustWorks, how do we turn a traditionally very human intensive pen and paper exercise into a subscribable software business? So that became the genesis of ThoroPass. I met my two awesome co-founders, Eva and Austin. Austin, a similar software entrepreneur, sold his last company, is looking for the next thing. He brought in all of the sort of enterprise sales background and, just also an influencer in the early stage startup scene. Eva spent 20 years at Citigroup managing risk, IT, and compliance for the bank. And like kind of she saw this story from the other side of the table that large companies want to work with innovative technology solutions, but sometimes they get blocked by compliance, get blocked by procurement. And hopefully our solution can help many tech companies set up and maintain their compliance program a little bit more easily, less painfully, and pass their audit with flying colors.
So that is a very real pain point, one that I think is probably going to resonate with a lot of this audience. You know, I spend a lot of time with senior folks in innovation roles in large enterprises and corporations. And, you know, for the most part, these are people who genuinely want to drive real change in their organizations, often sourced from the world of startups. And I always tell them a story that I told you before we got on this call, right? It's about a startup that I met in New York who was trying to sell into their first big financial services customer and was handed a 50-page Excel document to fill out on IT security compliance.
And we see that every day.
And, you know, the poor founder, like, they looked at me, they're like, I don't know what to do about this. And what's interesting is when I tell this story to the people in the enterprises, like, they groan and they laugh and they emotionally react, because every single time this resonates, they know it's a problem. So this kind of leads to a question for you. Like, this is a problem that you're tackling head on. Who's your customer and who are you working with? Are you working with the startups that are trying to sell? Are you working with the buyers? How do you kind of get into the market and who's your primary stakeholder?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think one thing to note is the challenge of answering long and boring security questionnaire is not only startups have that issues, right? I think large software companies, nobody likes answering security questionnaires. And it also doesn't really make people more secure, right? It's all kind of self-supplied answers and, you know, being done in a more manual way. So our customers are, we focus on the buyer side to start with, the full understanding that, you know, it's really both the people who are managing their vendors and the vendors themselves deserve a better process to do this. So, you know, we focus on helping technology companies to become and maintain their compliance program with the technology that we have. So if you look at what, you know, before ThoroughPass started 4.5 years ago, if I am a company big and small, I need to set up a compliance program. I need this expertise. I need in-house compliance professionals. And they are probably managing a bunch of stuff on their Excel spreadsheets, right? Okay, here are the 50 controls I need to implement. I'm going to ping all of the different team members to make sure that they're doing what the policy says they're doing. And then every once in a while, when I have to do the audit, I have to ping them to collect evidence, which a lot of times are screenshots and different sort of attachments from a variety of systems. So what ThoroughPass does is, you know, we are the TurboTax or the Carta for information security compliance, right? We support a variety of frameworks. Some have formal audits, some don't. But effectively, you onboard to our software, you connect to all of the tools that you're already using, Amazon Web Service, Jira, GitHub, you know, Google Work, G Suite, like all of those different tools that you're already using, which are producing those, you know, logs and like different data points that are relevant in a compliance context. And once you connect those, the data start flowing in, right? And we have this concept called monitors to make sure that, you know, what you're doing, all of your setup, all of your configurations satisfy the compliance requirements of whatever standard that you want to pursue.
Sure.
And then on the other hand, we have what we call the oral way, which is effectively the end-to-end process for you to complete a IT audit directly in the application as well. So the data you collect from those systems get fed to the auditors who can very efficiently produce the audit. So you will be able to get your SOC 2 report, get your ISO certification in record time. And those can really help you with the enterprise procurement process.
Well, I think anyone listening to this podcast can sort of get behind the vision and the need. I want to dig more on kind of what's going on in your experience inside the enterprises in this procurement process, right? Because one of the conversations I get into a lot is the tension between innovators who want to drive change and generally who want to take risk, and compliance, and procurement, which are both fundamentally risk management functions and are necessary risk management functions, but there's a natural tension there. Do you get in the middle of that? You know, who's your ally? Are you working with procurement? Are you working with the buyers? Are you working with IT, legal? Like, give me some war stories from kind of inside the big organizations.
Yeah.
Well, the good news is eventually they all work together, right? You know, hopefully the goals are aligned. We work with the software vendors. So it's our customers who are dealing with those different cast of characters when they make their enterprise sales. And our goal is to make people's life as easy as possible by eliminating the need for the sort of low value busy work, right? Mm-hmm. And in the context of compliance, that means like, okay, sometimes you need to verify that everybody in your company has done background check, have done security awareness training, like all of the different, you don't have a S3 bucket that is public, right? Because the buyers of your software need those information. So we make it very easy for you to connect all of the data sources and be able to digitally verify that those exercises are being done, and those controls are being implemented, so that all of that can be shared to your counterpart at your buyers without a lot of the hassle. Right. So once it's easier to implement, right, just imagine doing your tax filing with TurboTax versus having to do everything by paper. That by itself, you know, make it much easier so that you can spend more time, you know, working with your stakeholders, navigating the, you know, different dynamics from your buyers versus actually, you know, closing the gaps on information security compliance. And, you know, in today's cloud world, a lot of those setups and like those compliance activities that you have to do, there are third-party tools, you know, including ThoroughPass, but also features from the SaaS tools that you're already using that makes it relatively easy for you to do. Our job is here to make sure everything is documented, everything is tied together, and everything can be presented in a way that is easy to digest for your enterprise buyer so that, you know, at least compliance stop becoming a bottleneck for you to close that deal with American Express or Johnson & Johnson.
Yeah. Incredible value proposition to any independent vendor that's trying to sell. You know, do you get caught in the middle of the complaint cycle? And how do you deal with that? You know, the frustration that comes with having to comply and maybe the desire to try and shortcut, work around, you know, kind of do anything to avoid.
Yeah, that's a great question. And a lot of our customers are earlier stage companies, right? You know, just like the life, you know, I need to learn about the importance of becoming compliant at such early stage. But at the same time, my primary goal is to grow my company and to close that sales, right? So there's definitely sort of conflicting voices among the company. Are we too small to invest in compliance, or, you know, is this necessary in our stage?
Sure.
So I think what we have done is we sort of flipped the paradigm and, you know, position information security compliance as a growth lever for a lot of our customers, right? It is the responsible thing for your enterprise buyers to do their diligence on all of their vendors. The country doesn't need another security breaches. We don't need another headline news, right? So they are doing the right thing.
Yep.
Let's get the basics done. Let's, you know, do it in a way that is, you know, more reasonable so that you can satisfy those requirements, you know, in a more painless way. And that really resonates with a lot of our customers. Like, okay, they would probably not set up a compliance program so early without their buyers pushing for it. And that is a good thing for the overall society, in my opinion, because, you know, everybody becomes a little bit more secure. Companies start building the Yep. foundation of IT security when they're still small, makes it much easier down the road.
That is true. The technical debt you can accrue if you kind of ignore this for a while, or the business process debt, it can get pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's kind of like, okay, I'm not going to do anything. It's the Wild West. And then, you know, when I get to 200 people, I hire a CISO. Like, it will be impossible for that person to fix the mess, right? Versus, okay, I have a stage appropriate program that I start when I raise my seed round. And then I build on top of it, you know, hopefully with the help of tools like ThoroughPass, and then I continue to add different features to it. That's a much better way to scale.
So let's kind of step back for a second. So you've been operating for a little while, and you've grown sizably. You've had a lot of success. What have been some sort of changes in the industry and the space you're operating in, like the broad set of people operating in compliance, right? I mean, we've all heard of like HIPAA or GDPR, but can you kind of peel back the covers and kind of tell us what's going on in the space that you play in?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, you know, two interesting developments. One is there are more and more regulations as well as awareness for information security compliance over the world in the past 10 years. Every company is a technology company now. Every company holds their customers' data, right? Which means every company needs to have information security compliance program. That was not the case 5, 10 years ago.
Sure.
As a result, you know, governments around the world have regulations, and then industries are, you know, sort of self-regulating or created those best practices for their particular vertical that became more popular than it was, you know, 5-10 years ago. At that time, like I would say most companies, only the large companies need to have a formal IT compliance program. Now, like, you know, every Silicon Valley startup need it at a pretty early stage. I think that's one. Two, on the flip side, you know, that obviously creates great business opportunities, you know, which is what attracted me to this space, but that, you know, also attracted many other competitors. So when we first started the company, we're mostly competing with consultants or, you know, people who are doing this in-house, or, oh, I know a guy who knows HIPAA, I'm going to call that person. Right now, there are, you know, several major vendors, us being one of them, that focus on, you know, this area, compliance automation. Like, we have audit included in our offering, but like information security compliance management. And then there's a long tail of, you know, call it 30, 40 vendors that are kind of emerging over the past couple of years. You know, good, I think we'll see how the landscape shakes out, but definitely more competitive than it was before. And, you know, oftentimes running into like VC backed competitions, which is different when we first started.
Yeah. So I guess on one hand, that's some, you know, really solid affirmation of the need, but it's tough. So I'm going to ask you just a really classic, like, you know, question for someone who's a founder-led company, right? So how do you differentiate, but more importantly, how do you keep your edge?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it really comes down to customer centricity, right? It's like a somewhat cliche answer, but when it manifests into our world, it's about, we should do the thing that get our customers to where they need to be versus what's convenient for us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in our case, we believe that, okay, great, you have a wonderful SaaS solution, you have all the integrations, but that doesn't get you to 100%, right? So it's kind of like TurboTax added the sort of human CPA as an option for you to talk to a tax expert along with a largely software-driven journey. Like, you know, we have what we call human in the loop from day one, right? Not because our software couldn't get you to end-to-end, but because with that human touch, you will get there faster and you will have an even better experience. That's, you know, obviously we need to, you know, make sure we manage our costs, manage our user experience.
Sure.
But that's what our customers need. And we want to do the right thing for them. We want to make sure that they complete their compliance journey with us and able to get to where they need in a high quality and fast way. So I think that's number one. Two is, yeah.
Well, go ahead. I'm curious for number two.
Yeah.
I was just jumping in. I'm like, I'm ready to ask more questions.
Yeah. I think, you know, number two is in the very beginning, right? When we dig in, there's just this very acute pain points. Early stage startups need SOC 2. There's no good solutions for that. Our vision has expanded a lot since then, right? We realized this is a problem for large companies as well, right? Their tools are not very great either. So we expanded our market. There are different frameworks other than SOC 2 that are very similar, but every framework is a little bit different, but largely talking about the same thing in terms of, you know, IT's compliance control. Let's expand to those additional frameworks, right? There's this whole question, which you mentioned earlier, about security questionnaires, right? People are literally spending hours answering security questionnaires on Excel. The answers are all in your compliance system record, which is ThoroughPass. So, you know, we build out a security questionnaire feature in our platform. So a bit of on this TAM expansion, exploring adjacent areas where we can add to our portfolios with shared users, shared customer segments. I think that's really important when kind of the original focus get really crowded over a couple of years.
Got it. And that makes a ton of sense. And I think there's some possibly, yes, cliched, but actually really important advice threaded into that answer, right? So I want to pick at that a little bit. Staying close to your customers. Yeah, okay. This is cliched. It is also, I'm going to just violently nod my head, is probably the most important thing.
It is also correct.
That anyone can do. It's also correct. And it's incredibly hard as organizations scale. And I have lived in large organizations where I realized I hadn't talked to a customer in months. And like in hindsight, you're like, what's going on? So how do you, as CEO of a scaling company with a couple hundred employees, something like that, like a large employee base, how do you stay close to the customer personally?
It's a great question. And I would argue it is a combination of art and science. The science piece is these days, with all the technology, you can collect signals from a variety of sources, right? There are product engagement data that you can measure. We use this tool called Full Story, which gives us a lot of insight over what customers are doing. Like, where are they frustrating, right? There's this concept called a rogue clicking, right? Like, are there specific pieces where there's frustrating? We have those kind of point in time surveys, right? And, you know, I think general NPS style surveys are good, but like, you may not always capture the kind of the point of frustration or the point of delight, right? So you want to make sure that you ask like very few questions, but at the right time to capture the insight that you need to do. You know, we have different kind of webinars and, you know, different real channels to interact with our customers. I think next year we're working on a user conference at some point over the year. So I think these are kind of formal technology-driven channels to get user insights structured. On the flip side, the art part of it is you just need to get out there and talk to real people, right? And, you know, I make an effort to do that both for prospects who are not our customers, but have the pain points, like why they pick us versus other solutions. Is this pain point, does it still resonate with the people that we thought, you know, we're expanding into, right? As well as existing customers. Like, I spend half of my time literally just talking to people that could be or are our customers and get their feedback. I don't think there's any replacement for that. We're not too big of a company that this doesn't work CEO's time. In fact, I think, you know, it's exactly those conversations that give me guidance on where we should go as a company and as a product.
Yeah, I love to hear you say that. I think it's, frankly, it's important and it's wisdom that kind of scales down to the smallest startup up to executives and managers at the largest enterprises. And it's kind of a point that I like to continue to make. Well, cool. We're coming up on our time here, but I have to admit, I have one question I want to ask before we get into some closing thoughts.
Right.
And you're dealing in a space where I presume, tell me if I'm wrong, that data accuracy and accuracy of the assessments matters quite a lot. How do you balance sort of the, you know, 2 9s, 5 9s, 10 million 9s precision or accuracy on what you're conveying with the need for sort of not just efficiency, but presenting the data properly, et cetera? If that question even makes sense, I'm kind of curious for how you navigate it.
Yeah, I don't think those two things are necessarily trade-offs, right? If anything, what we're fighting against is the old school way of doing audit or doing compliance. You know, let's use this as an example, right? Okay, all of your data stores needs to be encrypted. How do people prove that before? They ask for a screenshot of a specific AWS setting page. It's like, okay, I know this is where you configure the settings. Go take a screenshot of that page to show that you have this thing ticked off.
Or amazing,
right? That is clearly a piece of information that can be collected digitally and verified and monitored in real time, right? So in that sense, the accuracy is improved and you gain efficiency because you just need to connect to your AWS account once and, you know, this information gets flowing in automatically. So it's really a shift in terms of, you know, leveraging technology to do what is unscalable, and you get the accuracy almost as a side benefit to that.
That's actually super interesting because when I think about that screenshot example, like to me, that's a CYA thing. That's the buyer, the auditor, whatever, being like, all right, no, they told me, look, I got a screenshot, yeah. But you don't actually know.
And you can, you know, people don't normally do this, but screenshots are very easy to fake. You can change this setting tomorrow and then
sure,
nobody would discover it for a year, right? Versus if you hook it up in a more kind of monitoring type of setups, it just, you know, makes your company more secure and makes the auditor's life easier.
Amazing. Well, that's really interesting. So when I've got smart brains on the show, I always like to ask for just a little bit of advice. So as we close out, I'm wondering if you have one piece of advice or wisdom that you would like to share with startup founders that are selling into enterprises, what would it be? And then I'm going to ask you the exact same thing about advice for the buyers.
Yeah. Follow your dream. Just kidding.
Yeah, it's not bad advice, but I'm sure we'll go past that.
I think it would be really honing on your product market fit for the startup founders, right?
Yeah.
You know, people start companies because usually they either smelled a business opportunity or they observed the pain point in their prior lives, right? And usually the latter one tend to be more indicative of that the pain point is real. And for enterprise companies, right, sometimes, you know, maybe your problem is not really a problem for enterprise because they have more resources or, you know, the systems that they use can cover it, you know, or maybe you discover something. So, you know, spend a lot of time with your potential customers in the sort of discovery phase. Don't get too wedded to your original idea. Be open to iterations. And then once, you know, you have paying customers or you have customers like waiting for you to have this feature built, so like I'm dying to use it. Once you start getting more and more those signals, you know, hopefully some early revenues, that's when you really double down on go-to-market, double down on product development. I think a lot of us are, you know, coming from kind of more analytical backgrounds, like where we're great problem solvers. We're not necessarily good problem finders, right? And that takes a lot of patience and self-reflection. So I would just caution us to slow down a little bit in the early stage. Make sure you really find a problem worth solving before you really go pound and start solving it.
You know, that's music to my ears, given that I'm basically in the business of trying to tell people to do that all day.
There you go.
But I love it. And for the buyer, you know, you observe a lot of startups trying to sell into enterprises from both sides. So for that innovator, for that buyer of startup technology, what kind of advice would you give them?
Yeah. So, you know, I think it's not a good idea to lose up on compliance and, you know, information security requirements for all of your vendors, especially in this day and age. Like, these are important things. But like, we should be more open to make it easier for the startups to do the right thing, right? You know, obviously we're working with vendors like ThoroughPass, but also like be, you know, maybe the what we have observed is, you know, the more innovative companies, they're more open to do a sandbox or, you know, do it in a more, you know, safer way that there's no data exposure, but people get accounts for it so they can test it out, the core functionality. Like, the idea is, okay, let's try it out and see if it works. And then we help them to get through the procurement cycle versus, okay, this is a red flag. You know, I don't even want to talk to you or understand what you're doing before you have XYZ compliance questionnaire answered, right? I think these are two different mindsets. It doesn't really introduce, you know, any more risk by doing it the other way, but it will give the, you know, more innovative companies much more confidence and leeway for them to actually meet the requirements.
Makes a ton of sense. And I thank you for sharing that. So, you know, ThoroughPass is an awesome partner of Alchemist. Hopefully our founders get to kind of follow and connect with you and your team all the time. But let's, for everybody else, what's the best way to stay in touch and to keep track of what ThoroughPass is doing and what you, Sam, are doing? LinkedIn, social, where should they look?
Yeah, I mean, our website are fairly up to date, ThoroughPass.com. And, you know, I'm fairly active on LinkedIn. That's probably my go-to social media. So I think, you know, we're obviously here to help people set up and maintain their information security compliance program. But I'm first and foremost a founder and an entrepreneur, right? I love hanging out with Alchemist and, you know, helping founders. This is my second company. I made a lot of mistakes, you know, in my last one, as well as this one, you know, probably pitched and get passed by a lot of VCs over the country. You know, luckily, some did invest. So I have a lot to give back to the community and would love to, you know, spend time with founders and share my reflections.
Amazing. Well, thank you for joining us. I hope you have an awesome afternoon and weekend. And I look forward to talking to you again, Sam.
Thanks, Ian. It's been fun.
So that's a wrap for today's episode of Alchemist X Innovators Inside. We hope you enjoyed the conversation. If you found value and insight in today's discussion, please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and never miss an episode. Don't forget to share with your friends, colleagues, or anyone who is passionate about corporate innovation or just curious about great ideas and practical insights. Until next time, I'm Ian Bergman. Thanks for tuning in.